radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Going to be the Rockets and the Warriors Sunday, 8:30, game one at Toyota Center after the Warriors took down the Memphis Grizzlies 121-116 last night. Great game from Jimmy Butler, 38 points. Great game from Steph Curry, 37 points. Golden State was in control for much of the game. Memphis, though, really biffed. And the last opportunity to tie down 119-116 with about 5 seconds to play. They got called for 5 seconds on an inbound. You give credit to the Warriors on that front. This is definitely a different Warriors team in a lot of ways. First off, a different Warriors team than the Dynasty days, but we knew that, right? Everyone's older. There's no Kevin Durant anymore. There's no Klay Thompson anymore. But they're also different from what they were earlier in the year. Ever since they've brought in Jimmy Butler, they have improved in a lot of ways. I saw this graphic on TNT. Before Jimmy Butler, they had the 17th best record in the NBA. Since getting Jimmy Butler, the third best record in the NBA. Their defensive rating before Jimmy Butler was the 10th best in the NBA. Their defensive rating since then, best in the league. Turnovers forced before Jimmy Butler, tied for 15th. Turnovers forced since Jimmy Butler, best. Points off turnovers, tied for 13th. Since Jimmy Butler, they are the best. Free throw attempts, they've gone from 27th to 3rd. Butler draws a lot of free throws. Free throw percentage, they've gone from last to tied for 2nd. I mean, they've gotten significantly better since Butler's come. And of course, Butler's one of those guys who gets miserable in situations fairly quickly. But if he's in a situation that he likes, the guy's going to give it his all. And that's what makes me wonder about this series because, yeah, the last time we saw that the Rockets and Warriors played a couple of weeks ago, it was on a Sunday. The Rockets handled business. Amen Thompson completely shut down Steph Curry. Draymond Green was losing his composure. Jimmy Butler wasn't doing a whole lot of anything either. It was a really impressive win for the Rockets, but it's also March to April. What do we make of any of these games that take place this time of year? It's tough. It really is. I don't know how much stock to put into anything that happens during March or April before the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a little different just because it was two teams that like were obviously going for it. You know, like this isn't pulling like a, you know, sample size like last year's Jalen Green thing. That's the easiest one where it's like, oh, they're just playing the worst teams in the league. And that's kind of not why, but that helped him go off and that helped the Rockets win all those games. For Sunday, you know, two Sundays ago in the Warriors-Rockets game, it's like, I think there's some that you can take from that. Like, obviously, like, Amen Thompson on Steph Curry. Let's try that. If I'm Ime Udoka, let's see if it happens again. Maybe not 3 points, but let's see if you can at least make it hard on Steph. Because I think that's really what the Rockets are going to have to do in the series, is just make it as hard as possible on Steph Curry and on Jimmy Butler on offense. Because like we said to start the show, like that is their offense so far. You want to wear them down, and hopefully late in the series, you're able to capitalize on that as, you know, these old legs get a little bit more tired.
I think you're 100% right. This is what concerns me for the Rockets. I do not trust them offensively. Do I trust them more than the Astros offensively right now? Yes, low bar. But from a making shots perspective, the Rockets get open shots. They have games where they just can't hit the broadside of a barn. Clank, clank. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly. Little rain. It's bad. On top of that, from time to time, they get a little turnover prone. Whether it's Jalen Green forcing things, dribbling into a corner, or
Some of the other players who aren't the best ball handlers. Alperen Şengün's been weirdly inefficient underneath the hoop this year. There's a lot of things that add up to when you see the Jimmy Butler effect defensively for the Warriors, and you might start thinking to yourself, damn, are the Rockets going to be able to score enough points? Are they going to be able to score enough? I trust the Rockets to play defense in this, but I do think there's a chance that this series ends up being very football-y, which I will enjoy watching. I know not everyone will enjoy watching, but I will be nervous because I do not feel like the Rockets, from a scoring perspective, especially without the guy. I know they're the favorites to get Kevin Durant this offseason. Maybe there's somebody else they consider going after. That puts them, I think, in a difficult position. Say these games turn into World War I trench warfare.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors, like, they have Steph and Jimmy, but on the whole, they are, like, an average offense, like, throughout the year. I don't know the since they've traded for Jimmy Butler, but a lot of this since they traded for Jimmy Butler is in March and April. So, like, it kind of falls back into how much can you read into the, like, they're 21-6 since they traded for Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also, you know, I also bring March Jalen Green into the picture of, like, there's a lot of noise in a lot of these things just because they are a team that changed so drastically in the middle of the season that I think that, in general, I think the fact that it is a offense that's going to be kind of station to station, pretty much, like where you're not worried about, it's going to be either it's going to be Steph Curry or it's going to be Jimmy Butler. And it's going to be running plays to get Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler the ball. It's not going to be like the old Warriors where it's the ball is pinging around to three different guys that can all make you pay. Even Draymond Green back then was more of a threat than current day Draymond Green. So it's going to be a little bit more of a step. We're just trying to get Steph the ball because I am Brandon Podziemski. I am not Klay Thompson.
I forgot some of the guys that they have on the team.
That's the
thing. That'll make you feel a lot better about the Rockets.
Not Andre Iguodala. I'm Moses Moody. I need to get Steph the ball. So it's going to be a little. They're more dependent on Steph than they were when the Rockets played the Warriors back in the day.
The Rockets are underdogs in this series, for what it's worth. I don't know how many people saw this, but Golden State, 1.5-point favorite on the road, game one, minus 200 to win the series. So they think this is pretty close to a toss-up as the series goes. And you know what? Maybe it is. It's the Rockets' first time here. The Warriors have been there and done that for so long. It is a totally different Warriors team. But to what Sean was saying, with Steph Curry, with Jimmy Butler, and with the idea that they are very good at getting to the free throw line, at least based off of last night where they shot, what, a combined 33 free throws, I think?
Yeah. The Jimmy Butler free throw grifting will, like,
We will hate him by the end of the
season. Flagging that as, like, that's going to get on people's nerves.
Do we disown him from Tomball if we are annoyed by Jimmy Butler and his free throw grifting? I think that there is a chance that we may ask the city of Tomball to denounce Jimmy Butler. We might have to ask for that.
Yeah.
I get that he's the pride of Tomball, but yeah, if he's insufferable in this coming series, which I definitely think will happen,
yeah,
that'll suck.
Or does it just reflect poorly on the ball? Does Houston turn its back on Tomball for the next 2 weeks, however long this
season? Yeah, it really is after the ball. Is the ball going to declare with the banners, or are they a rebel? Are they a rebel entity that's all of a sudden declaring independence like they're the Chaz, the Chop that I lived in Seattle? Here in the middle of Houston.
Could you say that the ball is in their court?
I think you could
say that.
Damn, dude.
But yeah, I don't want any. This is a homecoming game for Jimmy Butler. This is Jimmy Butler coming back to his home city. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. He's from Tomball.
Especially
45 minutes away from Toyota Center.
Especially from the local TV channels. Especially like,
yeah, Channel 2, Channel 13, Channel 11.
I want someone to go back, and I don't actually, because I know Jimmy Butler's been through a lot, and I do like Jimmy Butler. I just don't like him now because it's a Rockets Warriors series.
It's the playoffs.
It's one of those things where he's from here, and I have a great deal of respect for him as a player, and I kind of like that he gets sick of the BS of many players around him and has the balls to constantly call it out as opposed to ever falling in line. Like, the guy's always pushed for it. And I do. There is
he's
a part
been
of
mostly
me,
in the right for most of his career.
Yeah, there's a part of me that wants him to win a title. There's a part, but
Not this year.
And honestly, I think in the years to come, not going to want it again, especially if he stays with the Warriors. I think he will stay with the Warriors.
He's already signed a contract.
Right. I mean, he loves it.
That's kind of why, like, this last balls to the walls holdout that Jimmy Butler had. That's where he kind of lost some of our love, at least, or at least I'll speak for myself. Some Miami. Of my love, just because it was him trying to get out of Miami was so nakedly just because he wants to sign a 2-year extension at $50 million per year. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, so obviously, like, no, pay me until I'm 38. Like, right. That's all he wanted.
Yeah.
And so that's why this one, you know, with the Chicago trade, that actually was less like a demand. But that one, cool with. Minnesota thing, 100% on his side, wanting to get away from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, down with that. It's just this last one, I'm like, all right, dude, come on.
Yeah, but got into a better situation. Worked out in the end.
Yeah, but he was just trying to get paid. Like, he said he would get traded to any team in the league.
But I bet he knew that he would have a chance to go somewhere.
It was
going to
be
good.
Either Phoenix or the Warriors.
Oh, man, that's true. I forgot about it.
Yeah,
Phoenix.
He just wanted to get paid.
Forgot about that.
He was just looking for a team to pay him.
I don't know, man. I think he's got a low tolerance for BS, and I think that he would, if he was in a situation that sucked, I think he'd force his way out again.
Yeah, no, he would get paid from Phoenix and then demand a trade.
Yeah.
That's okay. What he would do.
Yeah. I don't entirely mind that with him, but I'm 100% being inconsistent because I just like Jimmy Butler. But whatever, he is an enemy of the Houston sports state.
He's going to be pump faking and jumping into Jabari Smith.
I know I'll be very annoyed by it by the end. He did drive me crazy during some of those Celtics Heat series back in the day. Are the Rockets the Warriors' little brother still? Or have things changed with both Jimmy Butler joining the Warriors and with just what this Rockets team has been this year? We're going to go through the timeline of the rivalry between these two teams in this era. We're talking Ime Udoka / this current iteration of the Warriors, that generation of Rockets, because it's actually been quite zesty for the last two seasons or so. Some fun audio, specifically Tari Eason and Draymond Green going back and forth, and Steven Adams talking about things that Draymond's done to him. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Ask the question, are these Rockets still these Warriors' lil bros? Eric the Driver texted in, as Ric Flair once said, "Woo!" He also once said, quote, "To be the man, you have to beat the man." And if the Rockets win, they're no longer the little brother. Zach points out, 1,000%, the Rockets are little brother to Golden State. Maybe if we could have won one in the Harden era, could have been a starting point. Ultimately, if you take a look back at the playoff series between those two teams, where they played each other four times over a course of 5 years before the Rockets went back into the dark ages, over 23 playoff games played in 2015, 2016, 2018, and 2019. Golden State 16-7 against the Rockets. And after the first two wins of this season, the Warriors had beaten Golden State, the Warriors had beaten the Rockets 15 straight regular season games. This year, though, for what it's worth, the Rockets have won two of the last three. It's only 3-2 this year as opposed to, you know, just a clean old sweep. The Rockets have definitely given off a little brother vibe with the Warriors in the past. I say that because just go back to last year. Remember down the stretch, the Rockets thought that they could potentially catch the Warriors, make it into the play-in tournament. This is a not actually playing Tari Eason after the Rockets were, I think, within a game of Golden State. Really clapping at them, quoting a movie from the 1970s.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play!
Gotta say, pretty good impersonation of that iconic line from the 1979 cult classic, available on Paramount Plus, The Warriors. I've never actually watched the whole thing. A turf battle between New York street gangs from Coney Island to the Bronx. The Warriors are mistakenly fingered for the killing of a gang leader. But ultimately, the Rockets kind of fell apart after Tari Eason did that. This is how Draymond Green, podcast and D, responded to it on whatever his podcast is called.
I love it. Like I said on my podcast, Tari, you're going to say that, you got to play off. Like, yeah. You can't come out and say that and not play. But I know what type of player he is. You know, like he welcomes all that. He welcomes the challenge. He welcomes the fight. You know, and I, you know, that's the reason, you know, I saw him playing last year and fell in love with his game, you know, because he does the dirty work. He's getting in the fray. And, you know, that team is better when he's out there, you know. So, a lot of competitive fire. I love the talking. That's always fun. But yeah, hopefully next year, he'll say the same thing, and we both won't be fighting for the play, and we'll be fighting for a seat up top. So.
Well, that's exactly what they're going to be doing. And actually measured Draymond Green, very different from the Draymond that we saw a couple of weeks ago, where he's getting into it with Alperen Şengün because he hates white Europeans. I think it's very safe to say that this is 100% how Draymond feels. No matter how misunderstood you might think he is, that is not misunderstood. If you're a European basketball player, the man hates you, and he might come after you. Earlier this year, Tari Eason, after the first loss, the 14th straight loss for the Rockets against the Warriors, which took place November 2nd, this is what Tari had to say after the game.
What led to
I don't like the Warriors. I mean, I don't know. I just want to win.
I do like Tari Eason. And I like that there's a little zest behind this thing. So it makes me wonder if, while Draymond gets a chuckle out of these young Clipper snappers, little bro, it makes me wonder if that'll continue. But I know from the Rockets' perspective, they're like a jealous little brother. You know, they're like Jan with Marsha and the Brady Bunch. Sorry for the dated reference, but Jan sucks, right? And constantly is looking at ways to screw over Marsha. Because Marsha's the hot, strong, independent, like, big sis. And right now you're Jan. You can change things, but it's going to involve taking a shovel to Marsha's face and permanently disfiguring her so that Jan can rise up the power rankings, and that's what the Rockets are looking to do.
Yeah, I think what we saw 2 weeks ago and the difference in how Draymond responded is last year it was, hey, this is a cute little fun story. These guys think they can come up with the big dogs and, you know, look at them go. Hey, I love the fire, kid. Just next time, I hope it's not in the plan. And then this year, in April of this year, you get – and then you still have Tari Eason, which I respect, just being like, I don't like the Warriors. And then fast forward to a couple weeks ago where you have Draymond Green throwing elbows into the people's faces – and,
like, to make a point to the referee, too. It was a very weird move, even by Draymond standards.
And I think it marks a, hey, actually, this cute little young team, actually, it's not that cute anymore. Because at that point, they're beating the Warriors. And we'll see how they go in the playoffs. Funny that he said, hopefully, we're not competing for the play-in. Well, the Rockets weren't competing for the play-in.
They weren't.
You guys, back in the play-in. But yeah, I think Draymond has some respect. Obviously, he has respect for what the Rockets have done. I think that during the series, though, it'll be, you know, when you a cornered animal, you know, it's the claws will come out because they are kind of more of a worthy opponent in the eyes of Draymond.
From the 936, why has no one ever just hit Draymond? Eric the Driver asked.
That is an interesting question. Why no one's gone Chris Childs on him?
Well, I mean, don't the Rockets have someone who theoretically could? Now, he does always seem rather even keeled, but we also saw him without doing anything against which Plumlee?
Miles.
Yeah, whatever.
No, Mason.
Exactly. Like, they're both forgettable players.
I just forget which one's the good one that's still in the league.
Okay.
And that's Mason.
Right. So this wasn't Mason.
This was Mason.
It was
Mason. There's only one in the league anymore.
Okay. Well, anyway, they had their, you know, shoving incident. And Steven gets up, no bleeding, just walks away very calm. Plumlee's bleeding as he gets up from that. Steven Adams is somebody who has been kicked in the nads multiple times by Draymond Green. I'm wondering how Steven handles it. He was asked about that before. Here is what Steven had to say.
I wouldn't say we're mates.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he did kick you in the nuts.
Yeah. Some mates do that, though. Back home, you know, as a high school, I don't know.
There's an extra element to Steven Adams, and I think it's just his calm demeanor that makes him a little bit more intimidating. You know, going back to what you were talking about a little bit ago, Sean, how there's probably been a perspective change for the Warriors when it comes to looking at the Houston Rockets right now. I did think it was very interesting that earlier this year, Draymond Green had Fred VanVleet on his podcast, and Draymond just goes on a tangent talking about how he thinks Steven Adams respects him, and Fred VanVleet checked him.
Yeah, me and Steven Adams don't really get into it much, man. I think there's a mutual respect.
Didn't you kick my man's in the nuts, man?
Listen, number one, I was selling a car. I was selling a car. I got it.
You kicked my dog in the nuts, man. Come on with that stick, man.
He did. Did kick him in the nuts. So I think that there is potential, especially if the Rockets do the thing where they put out Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün for a Draymond Green versus Şengün originally and then Adams little battle.
A tag team. I mean, we see that all the time where there's a scuffle going on an NBA court and then Steven Adams comes in calmly again. And then the scuffle kind of de-escalates from there because no one wants to escalate it.
No one wants to mess with him. And honestly, going back to that Plumlee incident, you know, Adams is a really calm guy. When Adams was down the tunnel, like wanting to go find Plumlee afterwards, that surprised me because it really did feel like in that moment, for whatever reason, and Plumlee was being an a-hole right there. Adams should not have been ejected for that moment a couple of weeks ago. I was stunned to see Adams actually lose the demeanor for just a moment because he does strike me as calm and one of those guys where he'd never get in a fight. But that moment right there tells me, oh, if it's the playoffs and he's on this team,
he might throw down. Yeah, no, Adams is a guy that you want in a playoff
for
series
sure.
As far as bringing a toughness. I mean, really, this entire team, like, I'm not worried about that in that part of. You know, a team's first time in the playoffs where it's like the moment's too big and like they don't know they're going to get punked or something. Like, no, Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, Tari Eason, Amin Thompson, even like Jabari Smith. Like, they have guys and guys. And even like Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, like, they're not pushovers.
No,
like,
exactly.
They're not as goony as six other guys on the team.
Right.
But
I mean, some guys you won't even play. Like, I doubt we'll see much Cam Whitmore this series.
Yeah, but Cam Whitmore.
But Cam Whitmore's one of the scarier ones out there. I do love that about this Rockets team. I really do enjoy them. I really do.
Yeah.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. It's going to be Rockets and Warriors on Sunday. Up next, the 10-minute drill. A look around the National Football League. What are we going to take a look at? Well, how about this, guys? How about the potential destination of Shedeur Sanders and the Cowboys continue to disappoint their fan base? It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, it is the 10-minute drill. We touched on this at the end of yesterday's show. Travis Hunter says he'll never play football again if he can't play both ways. Sure. Sure. I do wonder how much he'll play both ways. I do feel like if I'm a team drafting him, I probably want him to play corner, and I might situationally use him as a wide receiver as opposed to putting him at wide receiver and situationally using him as a corner.
Yeah, and there's just – there's more of a pathway – or I guess not a pathway, but there's more of a – more guys have been kind of gadget wide receivers than have been gadget cornerbacks. Right. And he's not a gadget wide receiver in the fact that he's limited or that he's, you know, 5'8" or something like that. No, he's a gadget just because he's also awesome at a different position. And so, yeah, I would throw screens to him. I would have little plays to get him open. But
third
for
long.
The most part, yeah, for the most part, I want him locking down the other side of the field.
I think that position is a little more important than receivers, which are not necessarily a dime a dozen, but wide receivers are getting
what? If you have a good receiver, you should draft Travis Hunter to be a corner.
I agree with that.
And use him as a complement.
Very curious to see where he ends up going. It does feel like there's a pretty good chance he's gone at number two based off of everything we're hearing, with Cam Ward probably going number one. The Giants, what are they going to do? Well, they might indeed want Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter's quarterback. He will hold a private workout for the Giants tomorrow. Per Mike Tannenbaum, who I think we've had on this show before, ESPN analyst, there is a schism of sorts over him. What is this schism about? Good question. I'm wondering who wants him, who maybe doesn't. If you're Brian Daboll, kind of desperate to get a young quarterback, because it does feel like you're kind of screwed as far as the ability to save your job going into next year with the roster of talent that you have across from you. Same thing with Joe Shane. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on those two to get him. So maybe it's management that's like, we don't want to deal with this guy because he seems to be loud. I'll say this about Sanders. I mean, when the guy talks, he makes some good points. He said this. Now, you could definitely debate this a little bit because last year it definitely did not go the way that he wanted things to. But he said, experiencing and handling pressure is the edge that I have over every other player in this year's draft. To a degree, I think he's right. I mean, Colorado,
yeah.
Scrutiny, constant, especially with how bad the first season was with Deion Sanders. Did he get off to the good start? Things are so fun, and Oregon just skull bleeps him.
Yeah.
This past year, they started off pretty shakily. They got it together. They weren't that far away from the college football playoff. They weren't that far away. They're pretty damn close,
yeah,
despite the start.
What, one Big 12 game goes their way and they win a
right.
Big 12 championship. They're in the Big 12 championship.
At least in it.
And they win that, they're in.
Yeah.
I think we've been pretty consistent with Shedeur and Colorado as a whole, where, hey, like, we get it. Like, you're definitely an improvement for Colorado football. Shedeur Sanders, you're definitely a good college quarterback and a decent prospect. Like, a pretty good prospect.
Yeah.
You're not knocking anyone's socks off, but he probably should be a first-round pick. As far as, like, the hype around them and the talk around them, that's where it gets pretty insufferable on both sides, too. Like, the pro-Colorado side is also like, hey, guys, have you seen college football before? Like,
Good question.
It's very much a Stan army for these guys. And then also on the downside, where, you know, people questioning a lot of the stuff that Shedeur Sanders says and how he acts and stuff. It's like, some of it might be a little out of line, but also I think a lot of his quotes get blown out of proportion.
I'm with you on that one. We'll see where he ends up. I think if you're the Giants, you have to take him. I think you got to stop being a coward. If there's a quarterback available, and he's clearly one of the best two available,
yeah,
pull the trigger.
I mean,
you could get a pass rusher or something like that, but if you're a Giants fan right now, you need something. You need something to care. And
yeah.
Sanders makes you care for good or for bad. Drafting Abdul Carter ain't going to do that.
Yeah, this is where, like, I kind of go into – I have to separate, like, the – well, if I'm Shedeur Sanders, I do not want to go to the Giants. But that's not, you know, that's not part of the equation. He doesn't get to pick. But if I think that, and I'm like, man, that not suck, because you still have Malik Nabers. But, like, you lined up with their coaching staff and front office. Like, He's probably going to get drafted. If he gets drafted to the Giants, he's going to have one coach and one GM year one, and they're probably going to get fired, and he's going to have a different crew for year two. And that's just a tough way to start your career.
One last story in the 10-minute drill. If you are looking for the Cowboys to perhaps be the team that sneaks up to the top of the draft and takes Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And replaces Dak Prescott with him.
Jerry loves a splash.
Probably not going to happen, at least based off of what the Cowboys are telling everybody. And unless they're about to pull a fast one with some master plan, I think this is a pretty safe assumption to make. Stephen Jones said the Cowboys are more likely to move down than up in the draft.
Okay.
Gotta say, why tip your hand like that? I mean, Nick Caserio's pretty annoying as far as giving information out.
Yeah.
But today, when he was asked at a press conference, and we'll react to some of what Nick had to say tomorrow, also Dana Brown, in that press conference, Nick said, we might draft somebody in the spot that we're at. We might do it before. We might do it after.
Yeah.
What's the direct
quote, we're scheduled to pick at 25. If we pick at 25, that's great. If we don't, we don't.
Love it.
Thanks, Nick Caserio.
Really appreciate
if we don't,
that.
We don't.
Explaining the draft to people.
The Stephen Jones and how the Cowboys have been messaging this offseason. Like, this offseason, I don't think, has been a disaster for him. It's just that when you go, and it starts with last year, when you go start saying you're all in, and this year you go...
Selective aggression.
And then the follow-up is you don't really make any big aggressive moves, even selectively, and now you're talking about trading down the draft and not trading up. It's just, I feel like you would save a lot of headaches for yourself if you just say, hey, listen, we have a plan and we're going to follow it, and you'll see the plan when we line up on week one. Or, you know, like, just give them nothing, really. Give them, Caserio gives them too little, the Cowboys give them too much.
Mm-hmm.
Feed them bleep. Keep them in the dark.
Cowboys are always in the news cycle, though, and I think Jerry Jones likes that.
I know. They should dress Shedeur Sanders.
To see that would help. Sean Mapes by the glass of Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Another rough day to this point offensively for the Houston Astros, who have just three hits, down 3-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning in St. Louis. I'm wondering if Dana Brown has noticed the performance of some of the guys who are no longer on this Astros team, because a former Houston Astro, an Astros legend, did something last night that he never did in Houston. What's that? Stick around. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The middle, he goes for a base hit, and he is 5-for-5 for the first time in his career.
Keep going.
That is the New England Sports Network on the call for a Boston Red Sox Tampa Bay Rays game, where Alex Bregman had not one hit, not two hits, not three hits, not four hits, but five hits for the first time in his career. Also had two home runs on the young season. He is hitting .321 with four homers and 16 runs batted in. When you look at those numbers and you look at the Astros and their struggles at the plate, just three hits today, two of them by Jose Altuve in the leadoff spot, one of them by Jeremy Pena in a game where Yordan Alvarez is on the bench after hitting a home run last night. And it does make you a little bit sad. You might be going on social media and taking a look at some old pics of the old thing, because that's what Alex Bregman is. You're probably already doing it with Kyle Tucker, who's also off to a great start. He's hitting .313 with five homers 18 runs batted in and 1,027 OPS. We've talked about this already. The Astros clearly miss Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker right now. Will they at the end of the year? That remains to be seen, but Alex Bregman had 5 hits last night and 2 of them were homers. So I wonder how specifically Dana Brown feels. Might have just had a Freudian slip there. More like Dana Frown taking a look at what Bregman and Tucker are doing. I'm sure that if you were to talk to him, and I'm sure he did his radio hit today, that he would say things that are optimistic. He likes the guys. He likes the base running, which we heard Joe Espada talk about yesterday. He likes the way things are going for some of the younger players. He might say all those things. He's got to be thinking about Alex Bregman. How could you not? 5 hits. I did not know he had never had a 5-hit game in his career. But he had 5 hits last night against the Tampa Bay Rays, who are playing in a minor league ballpark, and it really is a bad image for the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you have 2 teams in the American League playing in a minor league ballpark.
I totally forgot about the A's.
At least the Rays, it's like, hey, their stadium got its roof blown off in October, so it's not really their fault. But the Rays one's completely inexcusable. But the Alex Bregman, are we going to do the? We're going to do this all season, right?
I think so.
Just the like the horse race element of hey, Paredes had 3 home runs in 3 games, and Bregman slumped over the weekend,
but why
and then
wouldn't you?
Then he go 5 for 5.
You have to. There's no other way to do it. I mean, look, they're struggling to score any runs. Jeremy Payne is like a crazy person taking off from second base and shaking off the third base coach to go home to score 2 runs. Like, that was one of the 2 runs you had. Yeah, the base is loaded a couple of times, so at least you're getting runners in scoring position. But that was an issue last year. You're not able to drive guys across the plate. Like, they're winning with pitching and small ball. I mean, wasn't there like a Jake Myers hit and run with Cam Smith last night, for God's sake?
Real,
like,
baseball.
No, but seriously.
Small ball. Move a guy over.
That's what they're relying on. Okay, I mean, do whatever you can. Take the torpedo bats in. Start banging trash cans again. Do whatever you got to do. But I'm sorry. Someone texted in from the 832. If you talk about Bregman's Mickey Mouse homers yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays, you've lost a listener, Mr. Gallant. Sir, he hit 2 and he had 5 hits. Like, is that ballpark so Mickey Mouse that you got to put an asterisk next to the homers? I mean, they clearly miss him right now. Paredes has had his moments for sure, but he's not playing like one of the best players in the American League, and that's what you've seen out of Alex Bregman. Meanwhile, Kyle Tucker's been one of the best players in the National League. Also, George Springer is playing really well to open up the year, and a guy that I had really never heard of, Willier Abreu, was off to a pretty good start, and you traded him to the Red Sox for Christian Vasquez. That's what sucks right now, and if you're Dana Brown, you got to be second-guessing yourself just a little bit. That's the natural human thought.
He didn't trade Willier Abreu. But the other,
or James Click did
Springer
that.
Walk. But the Alex Bregman thing, can I ask, would Alex Bregman be doing this if he was an Astro?
It's a good question. Huey and Spring asked that same question.
He's gotten off to a slow start for 5 straight years until this one.
From the 832, Paul, let it go. Jim Crane was never going to pay Bregman what he wanted. Where were all the hot starts when Bregman was here? I get that, but it's happening right now, and the Astros can't score.
But
so,
the Astros can never score in April. They
don't
never
do
it.
This.
Sean. They never do it.
I know they never do it. That does not mean I should be okay with it. I can't let it go. You're telling me to let it go. It's my job to complain for a living, for God's sakes. I'm going to let it go? I can't. They need him right now. They don't have him. And by the end of the year, I need more out of Paredes. I need more out of Cam Smith. Rough day for Cam Smith today. Update for Paredes today.
Yeah.
You got 3 hits today, and we're going into the 7th inning. Down 4-1 to a Cardinals team that should not be ahead of you in the standings. I get that they're doing well offensively to open up the year. They got 8 hits on you. They chased Ronel Blanco from the game after 5 innings. And, I mean, is this really how you're going to end the road? The very quick one-series road trip in St. Louis?
Yes. They're going to be, whatever, 7-10 or like, whatever their record is.
There are guys on the Cardinals, and again, I'm not the biggest baseball expert, but there are guys on the Cardinals not named Nolan Arenado who I've never even heard of before. And by the way, hey, you know, we talk about trades that were nixed. Remember Wilson Contreras? Actually, yeah. Wilson Contreras has sucked for the Cardinals this year.
But what if the Astros had him?
Well, he'd be doing better than Yiner Diaz still.
He's
hitting 147. Yiner Diaz is hitting 115 right now. There's a guy named Newt Bar.
Yeah. I'm
Lars Newt
Bar. I'm surprised he hasn't caught your eye before.
That's a great name. Newt Bar. I noticed that last night. Like, Newt Bar?
Yeah. I saw his name, whatever. I think it was game one. I just saw him like in the lineup. I was like, Paul, that's definitely a Paul's going to. One of Paul's guys.
Yeah.
Lars Newt Bar.
Lars is a great first name, too.
Hit a home run today.
You got Brendan Donovan, who I had never heard of until this series. He's got the old Jake Mariznick hair going on.
Yeah,
more Colby Rasmus.
Very white baseball player look to him.
Hitting 382 with a 970 OPS. He's having a good day today. I think, did he have a home run? No, he didn't.
No, that was a Newt Bar.
Newt
right?
Bar. Old yeah, Newt Bar.
Your boy, Lars.
I mean, the bottom of the Cardinals lineup today, 5 through 9, has 7 hits, and your 3 through 9 have 0.
Yeah. Astros stink, man. I don't know what to tell you. They're just a terrible team.
They're very tough to watch offensively right now. The 281, both not worth the money. Relax. But you got to tell me something to make me relax other than they're not worth the money because the team is not scoring. And you guys don't understand. If the season does not go well, I will become rather insufferable. Paul, you're already insufferable. I have never had to talk about baseball when the team has been bad. But since there are expectations attached to this team, there will be expectations for them to be continuously discussed if this is a rough season. And I have told you about my dreams. I have told you about my visions. I am concerned. You should be a little concerned. I'm tired of being told to relax. Blah, blah, blah. I know we did this last year. I do not care. I do not care. This is what is happening right now, though. And you're scuffling together 2 runs like someone who's reaching into the couch looking for pennies. It's sad. It's unbecoming. Who carries change? Who carries change anymore? I get it. Like, if you have it, you bring it home, you put it in a jar or something like that. But who actually carries it around? Who's walking around with a bag of pennies? And that's where the Astros feel like offensively right now. Just jingling a bag.
I mean, what will happen if they're like this all year? So we just stop talking about them. Like that is just what happens.
But the thing is, like, you know, the reason that we and certain football seasons did not talk about the Texans at all was because they were bad. But the Astros had that was the alternative. Like, there's no other alternative. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about TV shows?
Yeah,
I guess we are.
How did people do radio back in 2013, 2014?
Yeah, that's true. I just talked about Game of Thrones.
Just don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, Last of Us. I'll catch up on Last of Us if there's still
I didn't like that.
10 games out.
I didn't like that first episode. Didn't like that first one. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Not Santa's saying Paul didn't listen to Dana Brown today. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that today.
Yeah.
We'll save it for the GM day tomorrow. We'll compare and contrast Dana Brown's interview with Nick Caserio's press conference.
GM Thursday.
We also got Jeremy Booth. We might have Vanessa tomorrow. We will see. We are efforting. Vanessa. I thought I had it because we're doing it's her birthday. We're doing birthday drinks. Happy birthday, Vanessa. I think we're doing birthday drinks tonight, but we shall see. We'll see. Because there's a part of me that's like, last night, after I found out that all the information that I had taken down over a period of 8 hours to do my taxes because I'm stupid and I don't do it over the course of the year. Found out all that data was gone. So I got mad and like I normally do, just after a therapy session where I said, I'm going to stop procrastinating here and now. I decided to play Civilization 3 and drink a bunch of Japanese beer. And So right back where I normally am.
Got the extension though.
And there's a part of me that doesn't want to drink tonight.
What if
a lot of days in a row? This would be. I don't like to drink every day. This could theoretically be 7 days in a row if I drink tonight.
Well, you know,
as one does, but I don't want to.
Here's
how
you fix the procrastination. You don't wait until October 15th to turn in the extension.
But that's the thing. I know I will, like I did last time. I got to be better.
Knock it out in June when the Astros are terrible. When the Astros are 10-20.
Yeah, when that happens. Sean Mason is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. You know what? For all the Astros are doing or not doing at the plate to open up the year, I'm proud of this Rockets team. Because this Rockets team has done something that no team in town has ever done. You're probably thinking to yourself, wow, Paul, must be really impressive. Stick around to find out. Paul can launch up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.